The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Palace Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody. It's 6:30. Welcome into the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Palace Hall. As we wrap up week 10, loss at Lambeau Field with the head coach of the Bears, Mark Trestman, here on the Bears Coaches Show. Coming up after the 7 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by offensive line coach Pat Meyer. Good evening, Mark. How you holding up?
Jeff, we're holding up.
Yeah. You know what? Let me just start off by saying this. I don't think anyone in any walk of life in this NFL world could have predicted nine games into a season, a news conference this afternoon with the type of questions that you were being asked, ranging from are you making changes in your staff, to Jay playing or not playing him, detailing a pair of losses with 50 points hung on this football team. Least of all, you. Are you in a how could this have happened type of mode mentally, even for a moment, to think about where this is all unraveled here in the last 3 weeks?
Well, really, I don't think it's bad. I don't know that. I don't think it's bad to ask that question, though, and do some introspective on it, because certainly we didn't expect it. We went into this season with high expectations. They certainly aren't lost, but we have to be honest with ourselves as well here and as to where we are. I think we have been over the last couple days in addressing where we are, and our focus has to move quickly, with little reflection, but with some, because it'll help us move forward into getting ready for the Vikings on Sunday.
The minimal reflection is the key element here, because while the enormity of both of these losses, and again, you take games one at a time, but piggybacking the two games of 50 points and the way that unfolded with first half setback really digging out of major holes, and you mentioned it many times today, whether people want to listen to it or not, you do have to move on, because you got to get ready for your next game, one of seven left on the schedule.
You do, and you spend time with your staff, as we will after this show, and we'll review the game we just had, and what can we do moving forward over the next day and a half till the players come in to get them ready and to get them refocused. I think they'll do that on their own, knowing players that we have and the way the NFL is set up. I mean, the New York Jets on Sunday beat a team that was flying high in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And these things go on week in and week out. There's a lot of examples of teams that haven't done well recently that find a way to win a game. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to get that done, and we're confident that we can move forward in that direction.
You know, with all due respect to the Packers and their performance and their great players on both sides of the ball, in particular Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot of self-infliction here, wouldn't you say, given the way you guys play? You know, there were some mental errors, obviously, but just not smart football.
Exactly, not smart, not disciplined football. You know, we have to accept that is the case. And in most cases in the National Football League, if you don't self-inflict, you're in the game in the fourth quarter. And that's been the case for us, quite frankly, that we have from the start of the game yesterday, taking the kick out, having the penalty early on. You know, we got to third and long because we had a penalty, and we had an interception on the second drive, which was turned our defense into a short field, and then we had an eight play drive that ended with a delay of game and a third and long. Those are self-inflicted. There's nothing the Green Bay Packers did to stop us. We stopped ourselves and put our defense in a bad predicament.
And in those situations, when you play great players, the slightest mistake, they make you pay almost every time.
Well, they do. That works on both sides of it. So generally, when there's major mistakes, you know, the good ones find a way to take advantage of it, and certainly he did yesterday.
I guess the most intriguing aspect of all of this, and you mentioned it, it's a perplexion, if that's the right word. You do things in practice every single day, and your team reflects on that when they do talk to us about the attitude of practice, the competitive nature of practice, the efficiency of practice. Heard it from a bunch of players this past week, not to mention yourself, but it's not carried to the field in these last couple of games. and really in the first half of these couple
well,
of
that's
games.
Correct. That's correct.
How do you overcome, like, what's happening?
What's happening is that it's a perplexing situation because we know what's happening. We've had penalties. We've had disciplinary issues that go to that. We've had some guys make mistakes. Mental errors certainly have come into play. And the turnovers and lack of creating them has been a bit part of that as well.
Defensively, is there a risk here that these players, when they dig in and they can't make a first drive stop, that it starts to feel like, okay, here comes a runaway train again? Because 12 first-half drives, 10 touchdowns, one field goal, one turnover in the last two games defensively, what they've had to face against two great quarterbacks.
Yeah, and when you look at it, there's generally one play in that drive that's made a difference, and that's what we're trying to eliminate. And it was certainly the case, you know, when you look at last night's game, it happened in almost each drive. And as you look at it, you're the statistics guru here, but they were all long yardage. They were second and long, third and long, third and long. We had them in position to stop them, and it was one play that made a difference. And we put them, you know, early on a short field. I mean, they scored on fourth down from the 1 yard line.
Yeah, and the crazy thing, much of those six touchdown throws, it came on 3, 4, or 5 play drives. So, you know, they took advantage of the mistakes, no question about it. Here with Mark Trestman, as we look at the game against the Packers last night, the other thing that you hoped to avoid, and you know, this is where the hidden yardage adds up and hurts you. This is where the aspect of the kick return game. Who in your right mind would think you'd get 10 kickoff returns in this game? That's a record, by the way. Ties an NFL record for one game and the most yards in Bears history in the return game. But the amount of drive you're starting inside your 20, I mean, it was significant. Almost every possession was starting inside your 20, so you're working at a long field.
Yeah, working on a long field is something that we've got to do a better job with. Certainly, when you look at the analytics there, you're only talking about a 15% chance of scoring from that position. You really have to be on it to have 80-yard drives in this league.
All right, Brandon Marshall did leave the game with an ankle. Is it the same ankle? I didn't
check. It is not. It's the other ankle.
Okay. And yeah, fairly optimistic.
Fairly optimistic, I think. Oh, just talking today, we'll see where he is, on Wednesday.
And Jordan Mills left the game as well. And this kid is really, from the time the offseason program started when he had surgery, it's been an uphill battle almost.
It has, but he's a mentally tough young man, and he'll fight through this one and be back out there soon.
All right, the Minnesota Vikings are next on the schedule.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Chris Williams comes out strong at the 15-20, and there's a lot of room if he can get by. Crosby cuts in front, 50-40, and Chris Williams is going to take it all the way to the house for the touchdown.
That's a 101-yard kickoff return. Believe it or not, that is the third longest in Bears history. Chris Williams had a bunch of opportunities yesterday, and a rare game and a weird game in many ways in terms of the oddity of all the numbers and opportunities. But again, an NFL record tying 10 returns, franchise record 288 yards, and the touchdown, his first as an NFL player. And he is a play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Jeff Joniak with the head coach, Mark Trestman. And that run by Williams, obviously things pale in comparison to the bigger picture, but you know, still, no matter how it all, he'll remember that forever.
He will, and you know, as we move forward and continue to improve, he'll be an exciting guy for our fans. They'll like what he's got.
You put him on offense a little bit yesterday too.
We did. He's kind of working his way in. He's got some pass catching ability certainly, principally we want him to be back there returning, and it was good to see him have some success. Last night.
And he definitely has the speed, that's for sure. Talk about Jay Cutler. Is there a way to describe his performances against Green Bay, and how, not to break them down as much as it, does it become almost a burden to go in there and face these guys because the numbers just scream struggle?
Yeah, I haven't seen all of them, certainly. I saw last year's. It was a good performance. We certainly thought it could have been a winning performance in last year's second game. So that's, you know, my most recent memory. I thought he did a lot of good things in that game and moved our football team very well overall. So Obviously, last night was not his best performance. It was one that I'm sure he's working through today. It wasn't his best performance. It wasn't our best performance, certainly as an offense. I'm sure he's going to come to terms with that, and he's got to put it aside. We got to get back to work on Minnesota.
In terms of what the Packers dialed up, did you anticipate what you saw?
Basically, I thought they did a good job. They went in to stop the run, really, initially. They loaded up and did some things. We had some opportunities in the air to make some things happen. We didn't convert, and we stopped ourselves on a number of occasions as well. But we got behind the chains. We got behind the chains in the run game, and we got behind the chains because we got penalized and put ourselves in bad positions in some third and longs, and they're very difficult to get out at any time, and certainly on the road, it makes it much more difficult.
A changeup they threw at you a time or two was Clay Matthews playing some inside linebacker as well. Moved him around. I remember the San Diego Chargers used to do that with Junior Seau, these great athletes that can just fly around and play all over the football field. Did that surprise you
in
any
way? Not as much. I think his significant impact was still on the edge.
Yeah.
He did a good job of rushing the passer.
And the offensive line, again, yesterday with another new chemistry mix, the sixth time in nine games. We'll talk about it with Coach Meyer coming up at 7 o'clock. But overall, what did you think of the offensive line performance?
Well, it was a very difficult difficult game for our offensive line because of our being behind the chains. I mean, there was certainly some good things, some individual breakdowns. Collectively, probably not our best game, certainly. But there was significant opportunity to move the football last night.
You ask a lot of questions about this, too, just the overall tolerance maybe of repetitive mistakes. Where is it at with you right now?
Well, you know, when we get repetitive mistakes, we look to see what we can do about it. Number one is, can we get the player to improve and not make those mistakes? We've got a lot of young guys playing, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. We're growing players along the way, so that's always a consideration. Is there somebody else who has moved up in the competition? Those are things we'll talk about today and tomorrow as we move into next week. So every day is a competition to play as we look at it. And when we feel there's a time that we need to move somebody in and let somebody sit back and work from that position, we'll do it. But that's week to week. That's day to day. We're trying to get the best guys out there in every play.
You know, when you guys look at players on practice, especially on the scout team, the guys that give effort and really are pushing for a possible opportunity, it just doesn't happen in one practice or two. It builds over time. Is it through several weeks where you start to notice a guy?
It's a developmental process as well. Like we've seen some upswing in Cornelius Bennett.
Washington,
Cornelius Bennett. That's a
great player. Great player.
I hope he becomes Cornelius Bennett. But Cornelius has shown signs of improvement, and that could dictate him getting a little more playing time along the way. He's helped on special teams, and maybe he gets a little more work as well with his play yesterday and with his play in practice.
All right, listen to the next Bears All Access Radio Show, brought to you by Sports Authority, Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, here with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, joined at the top of the hour by Pat Meyer, the Bears offensive line coach, as we get ready for the Minnesota Vikings and their visit to Soldier Field, one of five home games left on the Soldier Field scheduled for 2014.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Snap is back, Jay back on his back foot, throws back shoulder up in the air, caught by Marshall, breaks a tackle to 15 to the 10, Marshall to the 5, lunges for the goal line, he's in, but they're not going to say, well, now they do. Touchdown Bears.
That's Brandon Marshall, the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. His 750th career catch was a touchdown with great effort after the catch to get into the end zone. Mark Trestman, he outleaped Shields for that one, and then stiff-arm ha-ha Clinton Dix down into the end zone. So very, very good effort yesterday by Brandon. He had over 100 yards receiving as well.
Yeah, he played very well, had a good week of practice, played very well. You know, Jay read that was a zero blitz. And Jay kept giving ground and threw it up there to Brandon. He finished the job. It was a terrific catch and run.
All right, so for the sake of those who didn't get to hear your news conference earlier today, some of the things you addressed, and one of them was you're going to look at the games you guys did play well in and got victories again. My question is, when you self-scouted last week, Did you look at those games as well? And what else do you need to see from those games that you can show to the fellas that this is how we want you to play?
Well, I think there's, picture's worth 1,000 words. So, going back to the video and just showing him some of the segments of those games and just the relentlessness of our play, the way we did create turnovers and why they occurred, working with that kind of visualization we think will help. And, our ability to, we had a couple great drives against San Francisco and some big scores in the red zone. I think it would just be good for us to remind ourselves that we're capable of playing very good football. And it's in there, it's in us, because we've shown we can do it. We get a chance again on Sunday to do it against Minnesota.
And collectively, how would you describe how the interaction is with the coaching staff right now? And how are the rest of the guys taking all this?
First of all, we haven't seen them since yesterday. Certainly challenged them to go inside. They've got to go inside themselves during this 48 hours. They've got to find, the mental toughness and mental strength to come back in and walk in Halas Hall with great demeanor on Wednesday morning. And they know they're going to be met with coaches that are going to have, proactively put together a heck of a game plan. There'll be reasons why we're doing things that we're doing. And they've got to come in and do their part. And that's how we've been working since day one. We've been doing this together. But they got to come in with great demeanor. And we've got to meet them with great demeanor and push forward and get ready to play Minnesota.
Brandon was quoted about confidence. And confidence is a very tenuous thing at times, even with great players and great skill and great plan. Do you sense anything to be worried about with the overall confidence of the team?
Well, I think that one play can change the mental aspects of players. One good thing happens during the course of the game. But the bottom line is elite athletes, players at this level, they've got to come in with the idea that they're going to make it happen, that they're going to make the change themselves. And when that happens, collectively, good things will happen. We got to work our way out of this slump. There's no doubt about it. And it's going to take a bunch of mentally tough guys and mentally tough coaches to go to work on Wednesday to get it done, no doubt about it.
You buy into any theory of, hey, you got nothing to lose at this point?
I don't look at it that way. I think that, we always go in with the idea that we're going to play with confidence, fearlessly. We are well prepared. And we got to go do it. We've got no excuses. We don't have time for explanations. We've got to go to work. We got to win this game. But that's the way we look at each and every week.
All right, let's dig into the Vikings a little bit. I know you just touched on them briefly, but we'll hit the high points. Let's start with a rookie quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. You've got a member of your staff in Clint Hurt, who was at that university down at Louisville. So watched him every day in practice, could give you pretty good insight. And then you translate into what they're trying to do offensively. What do you know about him yet, if anything?
Well, I haven't looked at him this week, but I've seen him in crossover tape during the course of the season. I really like what I've seen. I know statistically he's not certainly at the top of the league right now, but you watch him play by play. He's got excellent arm strength. He's been accurate the times that I've seen him. He has the ability to run with a football. I know Clint's very high on his leadership qualities and his ability to win. He comes highly recommended, and we'll talk to Clint more about it during the week, certainly.
You're familiar with Mike Zimmer's defense because you played them and beat the Bengals in week one in your 2013 debut. He's got a bunch of very good players at every level of the defense, and they're hitting the quarterback.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're very good on their defensive line. They're good on their second level, and they're very good on the back end. They blitz everybody, people from all levels, backers and safeties. They've got high-level players making plays, and they're showing a lot of different fronts. So pressure defense with good players, a very good back end.
Adrian Peterson's situation is being reviewed, but there's a chance, I guess, that he could be back on the roster. There's no guarantee of that. Do you have to plan for that potential?
Well, I think you do, and we'll obviously we got to be able to stop the run first. He's going to be running the same plays. If he happens to be playing, certainly we're going to know where he is, where he's lining up. That's for sure, Jeff.
And the importance of starting fast at home, given the situation, I can't imagine it'd be any more important than Sunday.
It's certainly a high priority in all three phases.
All All right, Mark, good luck this week. That's Mark Trestman, Bears head coach. Coming up next, Pat Meyer will join the program, the Bears offensive line coach, as we talk the Minnesota Vikings. And
the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. And this hour featuring offensive lines coach Pat Meyer, brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Verizon, Walgreens, and Xfinity. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody. A half hour to go in our Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak along with Pat Meyer. Kind enough to join us tonight as we take a look at what happened in Green Bay and look ahead to the Vikings. Coach Meyer, how you doing?
Doing good, Jeff.
You know, give us your perspective on last night from an offensive line coach's point of view.
You know, I mean, obviously you go up there and you play your rival like that and come out the way the game turned out. You know, everybody's disappointed. You know, I mean, the line's, you know, they do. They've worked their tail off. They're, you know, we just got to keep continuing to work hard and keep fighting, and just like they're doing, there's no quitting these guys. There's really not. I mean, it's tough. I mean, we got down early, and it changes your game plan a little bit. And but it was, you know, it was good to see that they did. They continued to fight up until the last play of the game.
You know, it's interesting you say, you know, when you say change your game plan, it's a repetitive thing the last couple games. That must get very disconcerting after a while, because you work to prepare the game plan.
Sure.
And if it gets south on you in a hurry, what does that do to your guys?
Well, I mean, they just got to change your mindset and just play every play. I mean, that's what it is. It's just playing the next play. Everybody do their job and do it to the best of their ability on every snap. And, you know, win, lose, or draw that snap, you got to play the next play.
When they come to the sidelines in a situation like these last two games, when you look in their eyes and see what, do you have to do that as an offensive line coach to see where they're at? Focus-wise,
sure,
mentally? And
sure.
What do you see? What do you see in situations like those two games?
Just most of the time, you just see fire in their eyes and just, you know, we got to get this thing going. We got to turn this around. You know, everybody made, like you just talked about, everybody do your job. And, you know, nobody griping at one another, just, you know, trying to get together and just saying, hey, you know, let's take it upon ourselves to try to get a spark, to get this thing going.
In an effort to get to balance, that was the big catchphrase for the bye week heading into this particular game. And Coach Trestman talked about four calls in the first five were dedicated, you know, to run the ball. A couple changed to some successful pass plays. Did you think you were going to be able to keep that engine running? Did you feel good about the game plan in terms of what they were presenting to you? And did they present to you what you thought they would?
Yes. I mean, you know, they're obviously, you know, well-coached team, too. I mean, they are, and they have good players, just like everybody does in the NFL. Now, the way it started out, I mean, we were planning on running the ball and, you know, throwing some play action against them and, you know, taking a shot here or there, like we did and like we tried to do. It's just, it's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I know the players are disappointed, but that's, you know, I mean, they're just talking to them afterwards. It's, you know, they just want to get back to work. And that's, you know, it's, they're not only paid, you know, but, you know, paid well. This is what they love to do. I mean, you know, NFL or not, I mean, this is what they love to play the game and they love to win. So they're disappointed, but they're not discouraged to the point where it's, you know, where you got any guys that are sitting there going, you know, the season's over, we're done. I mean, they're looking forward to come back in and see, taking a look at the film. What do we do right? What do we have to correct? How do we got to get this thing changed to, you know, to better, so that, you know, we get the W's in the end.
In good times and in bad, do you as a position coach have to remain consistent? So I know, like, most people think you got to come up with some magic solution or change the way you approach your team in situations like this. What's your opinion on that? How do you approach it?
No, I think you got to pretty much be the same all the time. I mean, you can't be fake, because they'll know. I mean, they'll see right through it. They will. I mean, so you got to be honest with them. And it's, you know, a lot of this thing is, you know, with a coach-player relationship is all about trust. You know, if they trust you and trust what you're telling them to do is the correct thing, and they trust in you and believe in what you're telling them from both a scheme standpoint and from a technical standpoint, and that you can prolong their career and make their career longer, and they believe in you to do it, they're going to listen to whatever you tell them to do.
The Bears Coaches Show with offensive line coach Pat Meyer and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
And welcome back to the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Hope you're having a good Monday night. 7:30, we're with you till here tonight on the Bears Coaches Show with Pat Meyer, the Bears offensive line coach, as we talk Bears-Packers from last night. It hasn't happened a ton, but happened a few times last night. What can an offensive line do to help with preventing defenders from getting batted balls? Or is that just timing on a defensive lineman's perspective of it? But is there anything you can do or teach? What do you teach these guys?
No, you can't. I mean, it just depends on the type of pass that we're throwing. You know, if it's a three-step quick game, then, you know, you try to get them out of the throwing lanes. So you set them differently. You set the guys inside, more inside out, hard on the line. You get the tackles. You know, the tackles will set the ends so that they get them up the field so it opens the throwing lanes. And then at times, you know, if you're just dropping back in a five- or seven-step drop, it's, keeping the pressure on. We always want to keep the pocket, the integrity of pocket, the inside three guys up on the line of scrimmage and get the tackles to set, you know, get hands on the defensive ends as quickly as you can. That way Jay can step up into the pocket and deliver the ball. That's, you know, that's our whole philosophy of pass protection. And then at times, I mean, you know, a ball guy jumps at the same time. Obviously, when, you know, the defender goes to jump in the air, obviously you want to get your hands on and knock him down. But it's going to happen at times. But, you know, depending on what the type of set it is, you know, we'll protect it differently.
How tough was it to deal with Clay Matthews last night? He was lining up all over the place, including inside linebacker.
Sure. Sure. I mean, you always have to have a plan for him. You know, he's, you know, there's very few times that we weren't accounting for him in terms of who the line who we're responsible for, whether he lines up with outside backer or a defensive end position or a middle type kind of backer position. We were tracking him.
When you guys had that end around of Chris Williams, was he blitzing or
he
just, so that was pure luck, really?
It was a zero blitz. It was an all-out zero blitz.
So nothing you could do about situation.
It was one of those dial-it runs, you know, so you're taking a chance at that. And it's, you know, we've had success with that in the past, and we've run a lot of inside zones off of with the fake action behind it. So, we were setting up the play.
Let's talk about Michael Ola, because his versatility can't go unnoticed. It remarkable for a first-year NFL player. You obviously knew him from Canada. So you know more about him than anybody. But can you put in perspective how difficult a job he's had to do to learn all three positions? Because it's not just one spot. It's right and left, which is a whole different ball of wax.
Sure. The way we teach it and the way, you know, Cromer installs the run game and the pass game and the protections and that, it's obviously you want your continuity of your offensive line to have your five, to have the guy next to you be the same guy for 16 weeks in a row, because you know each other's traits, you know, communication, all that. So obviously that's a great thing to have when you can have it. But when things don't work out and you get a guy banged up, something like that, and you have a guy that with Ola, the ability to play inside, you know, but also have, you know, the feet and the ability to play outside on the tackle position. It's, you know, it's a blessing to have somebody that can do that. Like I said, to go from a left guard to a right tackle, you know, to left tackle at times this year, you know, when we've been banged up. So it's a blessing to have him. And he's a smart guy, just like all the guys in our room are very intelligent. They're professionals. They study the game plan. They study their opponents. They know their weaknesses, just like our opponents doing to us.
And even within the framework of the same game, switching sides.
Yes, going from left guard to right tackle last
week. You know, he's expressed last week, you know, he's loving this opportunity. It's just been an unbelievable experience for him. But eventually he'd like to settle in on one spot. You can't blame a guy for wanting that. In your opinion, what might that be? Where would he be best served, do you think?
You know, I had Ola 1 year up in Montreal. The one season I was up there, Michael came in and we gave him a tryout and he got him from an arena team or something down in Florida. And we tried him out and I said, you know, this kid's powerful and he's an athlete. And he's, you know, so we signed him and couldn't play him because of the Canadian ratio up there. He didn't play much for us at the beginning because of the ratio. But in the long run, just seeing him and watching him play, I said, he's an NFL guard. This kid could play in the NFL at a guard position. But like I said, he's got the feet and he's got the athleticism to get on an edge and get his hands on the defensive ends and to do that in the pass protection game part of it, too.
That's Bears offensive line coach Pat Meyer as we break down the Bears and their Week 10 loss to the Packers, looking ahead as well, which we will with Coach here in our next segment. Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare. Sundays at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. The Bears at 3-6 heading into their matchup against the Vikings, who are coming off the bye week. So here again, another team coach preparing for you with all that time. That always is a challenge in the National Football League. Maybe at the very beginning of a game. I don't know if it lingers once the first starts flying, but it certainly doesn't hurt to prepare for a team for 2 weeks.
Sure. I mean, we always like having, you know, the extra week to prepare and go back, not only to prepare for the team that you're about to play, but to go back and to look to see what have we done well, what haven't we done well. So you can kind of critique yourself and say, what do we need to tweak here? What do we need to change here? And then, like you said, get a jump on your next opponent.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And back at the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Halisaw, after the Bears lost in Green Bay at Lambeau last night, they get ready to meet the Minnesota Vikings here with offensive line coach Pat Meyer for a few more moments as we talk Bears football. We talked about the fellas in Michael Ola and, you know, Jordan Mills. Do you feel for the guy? He's had really a nagging history of injuries since the offseason and that surgery, and he's really had to battle with it the whole court. And little things are popping up. He can't get into a rhythm. You talk about continuity. I'm sure as an individual he can't feel very good about being in continuity with the rest of the fellas, too, because of all the bangs and bruises. That's part of the game, but what's his situation in your opinion?
I mean, you know, I mean, he's a prideful kid and a tough kid. He doesn't ever want to say that he's injured. I'm fine. You know, coach, I'm fine. And you can see it. I mean, you can see it at times at practice and, you know, with his foot and, you know, but like I said, he's a prideful kid. He's a really, really mature young man. I mean, for being a you know, second year player, he's very, very mature. I mean, he acts like he's a 7, 8, 10 year veteran, the way he studies it and just watches the older players and the vets, how they handle their business and how they take care of their bodies and how they, you know, study the film. And so he's very mature in that respect. And yeah, I mean, yeah, you feel for a kid like that because he puts so much into it. And that's, you know, right now his body's not allowing him to be the 100% that he needs to be right now.
Have you noticed anything different in the first 9 weeks on how teams have attacked you guys as an offensive line versus last year?
I mean, you know, we saw a lot of stunt games last night, a lot of, you know, and teams know that we're playing different people at different positions, you know, so they're, you know, maybe a little bit more, you know, stunts or twist games and that type of stuff.
Try and challenge their integrity, not their integrity, but their ability to handle it.
Sure.
To make decisions.
Just like I said, I mean, when you have a group of five linemen that are there day in and day out and they're playing next to each other and you just know every little aspect of each other, that the player that you're playing next to, and then you get somebody that comes in that's maybe a good player, but he's not used to playing that position. Then yeah, I mean, then obviously you're going to see something, you know, a little tweak here or there, and you know, we saw that, you know, last night, both in the run game and the pass game, you know, a little bit more twisting and, you know, angles and slants, you know, from them that maybe we hadn't seen in the past. But our guys did a nice job adjusting to most of it.
And in the run game, you know, there's at times you're running out of the pistol, obviously, two-point stances. How does that relate versus a three-point stance in terms of power and generating power as an offensive lineman?
You know what? A lot of players coming from the collegiate level to the NFL, a lot of them never gotten a three-point stance before, too. I mean, really, when you look at it,
all the spreads, just, right?
With all the spread, I mean, really, I mean, a lot of them are more comfortable in a two-point stance. You know, they really are because that's the way they've been trained the last you know, 8, 10, 12 years, however many. But there's a feel for it. Some guys are more comfortable in twos, some are more comfortable in threes. You know, we just try to keep it to where it's consistent, so we're not ever, you know, given a tip off of what we're doing. Run, or, you know, because we'll run the ball out of the gun, run the ball out of the pistol, we'll throw the ball out of the pistol, we'll mix it up.
Yep. All right, Pat, we're going to let you go. Thank you for joining us. Good luck with the Minnesota Vikings.
Appreciate it.
Tough front four, right?
Yes, sir. Very tough.
Very, very tough. They get to the quarterback. Earlier tonight, in our first segment with Coach